You may notice this is a two-cup of water sermon, or at least the passage is a two-cup of water passage. It's not a misprint. Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. And we started the series last week, and we've, just as the passage says, it's a revelation of Christ, by Christ. It's all about Christ. Here's the plan. We're going to scoop up and fly through both of these chapters this morning. I'm going to read both of them, and we're going to hit some particular emphases in both chapters. We'll be due by about 1 o'clock this afternoon. No. What we're going to do is we're doing that now. Then Dave will come back, and he'll pick up next week with chapter 4, and we'll keep moving through. It's a 12-week series. After Easter, we're going to come back, and we're going to take up these seven letters to the seven churches one at a time and dig into particulars, okay? So just be aware, I know that we are not turning over every page, every detail. We won't, frankly, when we do seven sermons after Easter. But just know this morning, we're going to look at some, we want you to get the whole scoop. And so as I read these passages this morning, don't try to memorize them. Don't try to get everything there. When the passages were first read to the churches, and they read the whole thing there. And we're promised, it's hard to not read these, we're promised that blessed is he who reads it and those who hear it out loud. So we're going to do that. This is God's word. Hear it, Revelation chapter 2. Tell you what, let's pray first. Father, we need ears to hear. The passage all the way through calls us to that. So would you do that? Would you work now? This, not only do we read it out loud and hear it, but that we would keep it. So put it in us, O Holy Spirit. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now hear God's word. The angel of the church in Ephesus, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. You hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. And I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's God's word to his church, to us. He blesses it, doesn't he, by his Spirit. This morning, we're going to look, the way we're going to fly through this passage is we're going to look at, where is he? Where is this Christ revealing himself? So where is he? And then we're going to look at to whom he reveals himself. So, you know, where are you going to find him? Then when he's there, who are we? And then what happens? What does he do? Okay, so you can, if you want to, it's where, to whom, and what, if you want three words. That was four, I think. You'd think I'd read two chapters, we'd have enough to deal with, but I'm going to back up just for a moment into chapter one. So if you've got your Bible open or your app open with the Bible program, look back up. Where is he? Where are you going to find this Jesus? We read back up in chapter one, read this last week, that John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, I turned to see where the voice, see the voice, and I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. So he looks up in the lampstands, and he goes on to say in verse 20, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So what John sees as he falls on his face before Christ, he sees that if you want to know where Christ is, he's in the midst of the churches. That's where Christ moves around. Now, since he's God, we're not denying his everywhere presentness. He's omnipresent. So he's there's nowhere he's not in his deity. But where he's revealing himself particularly, if you want to know where he's making himself known, particularly, it's in the church. He's John says it on the Lord's day, he was in the church. This is, to put it just very personally, if you want to know where to meet him, you're in the right place. So you've come to the place where he especially deigns to move the veil back. He does it in the midst of the lampstands. Eugene Peterson, in writing a kind of a set of essays on the book on Revelation, writes this. I'm going to read a quote about this long. Christ is not seen apart from the gathered, listening, praying, believing, worshiping people to whom he is Lord and Savior. It is not possible to have Christ apart from the church. Peterson says, we try. Quoting, we would like very much to have Christ apart from the contradiction and distraction of the other persons. That is, without each other. Instead of entering a company of saints who still look and act a lot more like sinners, we're inclined to take a long walk on an ocean beach, or hike a high mountain, or immerse ourselves in reading, music, art. We prefer to go directly from the awesome vision of Christ in chapter 1 to the glorious ecstasies of heaven at the end of the book. But we can't do it. The church has to be negotiated first. The only way from Christ to heaven The battles against sin is through the church. End of quote. We try another route, but you can't do it. So John revealed him. Jesus revealed himself to John. John was on this island of Patmos, so 60 miles or so off the coast of what's now Turkey, and he writes to these. There are seven churches, and some have said this is probably kind of the courier route. If you were to start and work your way around, I don't know. This is not an exact analogy, but it'd be as if he starts in Easley and goes through Pickens and over to, tell me if I'm wrong, Walhalla, back down through Clemson, Williamston, Piedmont, I don't know if that's seven or not, Greenville. So these are real churches in real places. But there were other places in between. I mean, we skipped Anderson and we skipped Liberty, we skipped some places. It wasn't as if there were only seven churches that John knew. These were real churches, and when we come back after Easter, we'll talk about some of the particulars in those churches and what they have to do with them and what they have to do with us. But he could have done more churches. There were more churches than that. So there's another reason for seven. It's throughout the book of Revelation. The seven is a number of perfection. It's completeness. We've talked about this before. The seven spirits, it's not that there are seven Holy Spirits. There's one Holy Spirit. But the seven spirits speak of the fullness, the completeness, everything that the Spirit is. It's the seven. And so what John has done here, what the Spirit of God has done here, what Christ is revealing here, is that this letter is not just for those seven then and there. It was for all the churches then and there. And if you'll notice, every time he says, he gives this to all the churches. He didn't just send, a letter to Smyrna, a letter to Pergamum, and all the letters went to all the churches. Everybody needed to hear it. The church in Philadelphia needed to hear what was going on in Laodicea. We're all, beware if you stand lest you fall. We're all vulnerable to that. And so everybody needed to hear it. They all needed to hear it. Covenant Church, we need to hear it. And so he's preserved it for us and sent it to us. Those seven churches represent all the churches then and all the churches all the way throughout history. And it's for all of us. That's why we listen, okay? The reason we hear this letter is that the Spirit is speaking to us. We need to take this corporately, that is the church, but corporately personally. What I mean by that is not just personally individually, which we do, but we need to say, what would he be saying? And don't do this as we walk through these churches. Don't say, which one are we most like, or which one's that one most like. Don't do that this morning. You might be more inclined to do that later. But the point here is that we need this. He's got something to say to us. And the reason we hear it is because he knows. Five times in what we read, I know your works. You could just kind of think back through it. If you want to put that in your search engine, not now. Don't do that now. And just kind of pull those up. Five times, I know your works. I know you are enduring patiently. I know your tribulation and your poverty. I know where you dwell. He knows you. He knows us as intimately as he knew those seven churches. By the way, John knew them. One of those churches that was probably John's home church, Ephesus, was probably the church where John had served, had pastored locally. And he certainly knew the other six as well as the other churches in the region. He had friends. He had close, just like you have. We're going to partner with Clemson to do this youth and parent seminar in February. We partner with people all the time to do things. John knew these churches. He knew the pastors in those churches. He had friends in those churches. Listen, Jesus knows you. He knows us. He knows what's going on here. He knows where you dwell. That is you, plural. And that's why he was able to say in his gospel, John said, quoting Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So that's where he is. If you want to know where, that's point one, okay? That if you want to know where he's revealing himself, he's revealing himself to the church as the church that he knows very well. And what he knows about us, that he knows who we are. Five of the seven get very strong rebukes. I mean, he blisters. Two of them are told they're on the very edge of not being a church anymore. Two of them are told, if things don't change there, if you don't repent, you're going to be wiped off the slate of groups, if you will, that are called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one gets nothing but commendation, but no rebuke. But they all needed to hear all of it, because across that whole range of obedience and rebuke, it's all one church. That's why we say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. What we're saying is we believe that Christ Jesus has a church, and that we are part of it, and that we're not independent of that. We're not, we take no pleasure. Listen, if you know something about another church that you don't like, weep. I hope when they see things about us, about we need to repent, that they, as they pray for us, because we're a church. All the churches were to hear that, and God deals with us as one. Listen to the charges. I'm just going to just real quick go through the charges. Ephesus, these people in Ephesus, they were spot on doctrinally. They could answer the questions. But love was on the back burner. When he says you've lost the love you had at first, certainly that's, can't deny that's love for Christ himself. But what he's saying is you have lost the joy of the grace of God in your life through Christ. You've lost that, so you don't love anybody. You got all the answers. You know everything, but you don't love anybody. The point, he said, the lampstand's not putting on any light anyway, so we might just move it. Pergamum. Actually, you could probably throw Pergamum and Thyatira together. Pergamum was tough. They were withstanding. They'd even had at least one martyr, Antipas, among them. And they were not backing off in the midst of that. Thyatira, on the other hand, of Ephesus, wasn't doing anything. Thyatira, love, faith, service, they were known for being activists. They had all kind of stuff. But neither of those churches, Pergamum and Thyatira, were dealing with the sexual immorality among them. They kind of, it's like, you know, let that pass. Sardis, great reputation, dead in the water. All show, you know, she looked good from a distance, I guess you could say. And Laodicea, what can you say? Said the word it spit out really is, I know this is a little tough, and it's vomit. It's really not. It's not like spit spittle. It's regurgitate. Okay. You've met the girl. You think you'll bring her home to your friends and family and introduce her around. And I want you to know this about her, Mom. Dad, buddy, she's got all the answers. Man, she is smart as a whip. She is brilliant. She is I mean, she knows that I can get, she'd tell me anything I need to know. She'd tell you anything you need to know. And she'll tell you anything I need you to know. But, you know, she doesn't really like, you know, don't look to her to give you much affection. There's not much love there. And it's, anyway, that's, oh, by the way, she loves a little porn. And we've talked about it, and we're going to have one of those open marriages, you know, where you kind of do what you want to do. You're going to love her. You know, she's great. She works. She does the dishes. She works around the house. She volunteers at the soup kitchen. She is all over that. People who don't know her very well love her. I mean, she's got a great reputation. You can read, people read her blogs all the time. She's got people, she got likes all over her pages. I mean, matter of fact, you link in with her and you got a great network. Here's this. Hey, Mom, I want you to meet my sweetheart. Actually, she kind of makes me nauseated. That's what it says here. Jesus says, all the way through the book, this is the bride. And this is what how do you deal with that? Listen, he knows what he's doing. He knows us. And he knows what he's doing. And he is not dead in the water. He is not through. When I marry couples, some of you have seen me do a wedding. Married some of you. One of the things I always say in the premarital counseling and occasionally from the front of the church is that you don't know each other. You're going to know each other better tomorrow than you do today. You don't really know each other. That's not true with Jesus. He knew and he knows the bride. He knew all seven of these churches. He knows all the churches. He knows Covenant Church. So here's what he's doing. He says, I can cure every corruption. Everything I just listed there. Listen, there's nobody, even the churches that are kind of on the outskirts of, you know, the two that are about to lose it all together and the others that are getting rebuked. Nobody. He didn't write them. This was not a Dear John letter to say, get out of here. Don't answer this email. I don't want to hear from you again. These are I want to hear back from you letters. So the worst one here, the letter, the revelation is a call. He's calling them back because he's got something in mind. He's going to do something. To every church, the worst as well as the best, he makes a promise. He's got a purpose for them. He can do that. Listen to who he is. I'm just going to run through these. This is to the one who conquers. You see this? Every one of these is held out to them that you're not beyond being one who conquers. You can be among the number of overcomers. Nobody outside of that. Nobody who gets the letter is outside of that. He says, to the one who conquers, I'll grant to eat of the tree of life. He said, I'll give you the paradise of God, he says, to the one who conquers. Listen, you're going to die once, everybody is, but after that, no more death. He's going to get to that later in the book, the second death, appointed to every man to die once. After that, glory, no more. I'm going to give a white stone. We'll talk about what that probably means. There's several different possibilities. New name. Here's what we can say just without going into more detail. He's saying this is very personal. Yes, it's corporate, but he says, I'm dealing with you. I know you, and you one by one by one by one called to be conquerors and get in. I'll give you authority over the nations. You're going to finally have your dream job. Can you? Do you hear it? All the stuff, all the things that you feel trampled down about now, all the things that there's going to be a day later on, he says, you're going to make you a pillar of the church. And by the way, when the new creation comes, it'll be all church. It'll be all new creation. Get your dream job. And you'll have security. He said, I will never blot his name out. I'm going to talk about him before my Father and before his angels. He's already doing it. He says, that's never going to stop. They're never going to hear the end of it. You know what that's like. You got somebody you love and you keep talking about them. You know, you maybe your girlfriend, your fiance, maybe your grandchildren, you know. But Jesus, it's going to keep on doing it. And he says, I'm going to grant you, I don't know how it gets better than this. You're going to sit on the throne. My Father let me sit down on his throne. You're going to sit down with me. How can he do it? Well, because he's who he says he is. He walks among the lampstands. He's the first and the last. His word is sharp as a sword. That means when he says it, it gets done. That's what he said. I open, nobody shuts. I shut, nobody opens. And so when he's called you, has he called you? If he has, there's nothing nobody else can do about it. His word gets done. The seven spirits, the seven stars, we'll talk more about the seven stars, but what that means is the word of God is going to have its effect among you. It's going to get done. What Jesus wants for you, he gets. He is holy. And he says, the last one, chapter 3, verse 1, in fact, this Jesus is the beginning of the new creation. You're a new creature. Old things passed away, new things come. He has done that. That's what you want. He says to Covenant Presbyterian Church, I stand at the door, knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. Let's pray. Jesus, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to join the church. You joined the church. You joined the church to yourself. Not only did you join the church to yourself, but you've said, because you are, I'm the very head of it. You take everything that we are and stand at the head of it. Even to the point that you who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might in you be the very righteousness of God. Jesus, thank you for joining yourself to us. We marvel at it. We bow down before you. We worship you. And now we come. Would you feed us again? And we ask it in the name of the one who opens and no one can shut. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.